right. Good morning, everybody. Man, what an... Hey, listen, regardless of what Daniel says about summer, if I'm going to be hot and miserable, I'd rather be hot and miserable with you people, right? It's a good place to be. Hey, so we're continuing a series this week called Kingdom Come. And the premise of the series, the basis, is simply we're kind of coasting through the Lord's Prayer found in Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at some of the things that Jesus taught us about prayer. And what's crazy about this, if you read it, it takes you about 15 seconds to read the Lord's Prayer. But it's kind of the precedent. It's the foundation of our prayer lives. And so there's a lot of meat. There's a lot of substance. There's a lot of principles that we can take away from this and apply to our prayer lives. And so what's crazy to me about this, I think kind of initially, is that Jesus, he didn't just tell us to do stuff. He always modeled what we should do, right? And I think prayer is no different. He didn't just say, hey, you guys need to pray. I don't have to pray because I'm the Son of God. I mean, he could have done that, right? But you see over and over in Scripture where Jesus took time. It says that he went away by himself. He got up early and went. It says he prayed all night. There are several occasions and situations where you see Jesus taking time to pray. And he didn't have to, I suspect. It wasn't necessary for him, but he did it to show us the importance of it, right? And so in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, we find the Lord's Prayer. And it says this, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And if you ever played high school football, you know this, right? Like, it's ironic to me that we said the Lord's Prayer before we went and played a football game and yelled and cussed at each other for an hour. It's weird. Just irony, right? And so what we've been using kind of as an aid in this process of learning about the Lord's Prayer and how to pray more efficiently and effectively is an acrostic. And I know it's cheesy, but it's something that I learned like 15 years ago, and it still kind of helps me when I get stuck in prayer. Because have you ever gotten stuck in prayer? Some people, like, prayer is a gift for them, and they can, of course, they like to talk, and they can talk uninterrupted for 3 hours, so prayer is easy. Sometimes I feel so awkward in conversations. It's like you kind of run out of things to say, and you're like, well, does anybody else do this? Man, I feel, this is so stupid. I feel more comfortable talking to 100 people than I do one sometimes. I'm like, oh, what do I say next, right? And I think prayer, if you don't know what you're doing and you don't know kind of maybe something that'll aid you in the process, you can get stuck and you don't know what else to ask for or how to pray or what comes next. And so this acrostic, I think, will help us. And the first week we talked about, the acrostic is pray, P-R-A-Y. And so the first week we talked about P standing for praise and how we should start our conversations with God with praise. Like, hey, God, I absolutely love you. I thank you for everything that you've done for me. And it does a lot of things. First and foremost, it kind of sets the stage. It kind of sets the parameters. It lets God know that you understand that you're not him and that you need his help. And that's a great place to be. That's a great place to start your conversations with God, as a place of humility and honoring and reverencing him. Like, it starts in the Lord's Prayer. It says, hallowed be your name. It's a term of an adornment, endearment, reverence, right? So those are some of the things that we looked at. The first week is how we should start our prayer with praise. The second week is the R, and this is one of those Christian cuss words, repentance, right? Nobody likes to be told that they're wrong. I've never met anyone that likes to be told that they're wrong. Like, oh, please correct me. Please, please, please. I don't know anybody like that. But repentance is simply, the definition of repentance is to change one's mind about. And so when we repent, what we're saying is, God, if there's anything in my life that separates me from you, I want you to change my mind about it. I don't want anything to come between us. And so if there are things that I'm inclined to, things that I'm prone to, I ask that you would help me change my mind about it so that there isn't anything that separates us. And so repentance is what we talked about last week. And then this week is the A in our acrostic. And we'll do an honorable mention as well. But the primary A that we're going to talk about this week is the word ask. Ask. I always feel like it's important to emphasize certain parts of words, right? And so that's the first A that we're going to talk about today. I think most of us, if we're honest, we fall into this trap when it comes to prayer that we jump straight into this part. We jump straight into the ask. We go straight for asking God for the things that we need and asking him to do this and asking him to do that. And I think we kind of treat it like a drive-by, right? I think prayer for us is kind of like, okay, you know, like you're, as you think of something, you're like, ka, 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 and you keep driving, you know, gangsta style and all. And I think order is important. I think it's important, like, take some time. Don't rush it. Don't fly through it. And I mean, obviously there are situations that something will pop into your head and you should pray about it. Absolutely. But I'm talking about kind of your devoted times of prayer. And so start with the praise, finish, or, you know, go secondly to repentance. And then you can start asking for stuff. Because we looked at that psalm last week where it says, if I hadn't confessed the sin in my heart, he wouldn't have heard me. And so before we start asking for stuff, man, let's clean the slate. Let's clear the air. Let's get everything out of our lives that doesn't need to be in our lives. And then we can start asking for things. And so I think we kind of fall into that trap of going straight into the ask, but we need to get the order correct. And so what we're going to talk about today, what we're going to spend the majority of our time on today, is just that God embraces our asking. Like, God wants us to ask him for things. And this is hard for me to understand because I get real tired of people asking me for things. You don't, but I do, right? It's like if you just have people always bombarding you and asking you, because I know you don't get tired when people only call you when they want something from you. That doesn't bother you, but it bothers me, right? Because you're obviously so much more mature than I am. So it's hard for me to wrap my mind around, you know, the fact that God absolutely doesn't get tired of us asking for him. He doesn't tire of us making requests. He doesn't tire of us, you know, saying we can't do this on our own. We need some help. Like, that doesn't make him tired. He didn't grow weary from that. He wants us to do that. He embraces that. And it's something that's probably, again, difficult for us to understand. So we're going to kind of look at some things today to help us to understand it. I had this experience the other day. A lot of times we just don't think to ask God for stuff, right? Like, because, you know, you may be a pretty smart person. You may be pretty well-abled. And so a lot of times we try to do things on our own. And here's what's crazy. Things that you can do on your own doesn't mean you shouldn't pray about it, right? Like, you should still ask for God's help. You should still ask for God's favor. You should still ask for God's wisdom. You should still ask for direction. And if it's something that you can accomplish on your own, there's nothing wrong with still asking God to help you with it. I had a situation like this the other day. And I was going through something, and it honestly hadn't occurred to me, hey, I should pray about this, right? You've never done this, right? And so it was like, oh, okay, well, I'll pray about it. So I just, and it wasn't like this deep, serious, sincere, like holy on my knees, crying out to God prayer. It was just like, hey, God, I could really use some help with this. And by that afternoon, things had started to happen and change. And you know that it doesn't always work out like this. But it was just a really cool reminder that, man, God's interested in all parts of our life. He's not just interested in your sin and your failure. He's interested in your successes, too. He's not just interested in the big, glaring problems, but he's also interested in little molehills that can become mountains, right? Like, he's interested in every aspect of our life. It talks about Jesus knowing every single hair that we have on our head, the number of them. He's interested in the details. And so it's okay to bring small things or petty things or things that you think you can handle on your own. You can ask for those things too. And what we're going to talk about today is just that God embraces the asking portion of the process of our prayers. And so that's not to say things that if you pray about something, just boom, I think we're all smart enough to know that it doesn't always happen, or it especially doesn't always happen like we think it should happen, which is usually a good thing. Because when I get to the other side of an answered prayer, I realize that my way wasn't very good. I don't know if you've ever done that, but you just won't know what the answer is until you've asked for it, right? You know, like it says in the Bible, in James chapter 4, verse 2, you've heard this verse, I'm sure. You do not have because you do not ask. And in the King James is, you have not because you ask not, right? You don't have it because you don't ask for it. And man, I think I am as guilty as anyone when it comes to this. There are a lot of things that probably don't happen in my life, or a lot of answers that I don't have simply because I don't ask for it. And so even if we don't get the answers that we want, even if we don't get maybe this clear direction that we anticipate, let's ask. Like, that's at least the very least that we can do is ask the questions, ask for the things that we think that we need, ask for direction in our lives, even if you think you've got it under control. Like, maybe there's something that have you ever had a situation where you thought you had everything figured out and there was like a plot twist and you're like, I didn't see that one coming. Right? So maybe there's an area or something going on that you just don't see, because we can't see everything. Like, we see in part, God sees in whole, right? He sees in totality. So we ask, even in the small things, even in the things that we think we have figured out, we still ask, because maybe he'll help us see something that we wouldn't have seen otherwise, right? It's just important to remember that God does not tire of our requests. He anticipates this opportunity to deepen and strengthen our relationship with him. Matthew chapter 7, you know, it's obviously right after he tells us how to pray. He says this, and I think this is huge. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. It's one of my favorite. Like, Jesus is so funny. He's so witty. And he's kind of, I think he's kind of sarcastic to a degree, just based on some of the things that he said. And you'll see what I mean in a second. Verse 7, it says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." And so you kind of get, this is the beginning of the conversation. He's like, hey, just ask me, just seek, just knock, and I'll promise I'll take care of it. It may not be what you think it's going to be, and it may not be the answer that you think it's going to, like, no is still an answer, right? Or not now is still an answer. And so we just need to ask for God's direction, for answers to the questions that we have, for solutions to the problems that we have. And so you kind of see he sets it up like that, and then he kind of gives a little bit of a glimpse into God's heart. This is what it says in verse 9, and this is the sarcastic part. I think it's sarcastic. And it says, "What man is there among you when his son asks for a loaf of bread will give him a stone?" Isn't that funny? I thought it's funny. I get this visual picture. You're like, oh, you want some bread? Here's a rock. Moron, you know? And in verse 10, he says, "Or if his son asks for a fish, he won't give him a snake, will he?" Like, just, again, I get this visual. Like, hey, Dad, can I have some catfish? No, here's a water moccasin. He's like, nobody does that. Like, no father does that to his children. And then in verse 11, he says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" That's the heart of God. Like, he doesn't get tired of it. He anticipates the requests that we have, the needs that we have, the things that we're going through. He wants us to bring all of that stuff to him because he's this really incredible father. And if our fathers, even though they've got failures and flaws and faults and limitations, if they can still provide for us and take care of us, how much more can our heavenly Father, who has no limitations, take care of us, right? That's what Jesus is kind of, he's like, this is the heart of God. I want you to come to me. I want you to bring everything that's going on in your life, all of your problems, all of your minor or major, just bring them to me. And so when it comes to praying and asking him to do for us what we can't do for ourselves, we just got to do it. You just got to bring your issues and your stuff. And so I think it just kind of unveils this desire for God to aid us in anything that we go through. And kind of thinking about, I heard a quote one time. I love quotes. One of my life goals is to have a quote for every situation. That's kind of weird, right? It's like something happens on the street, and I drop some kind of knowledgeable, wise quote on you. Boom. Drop the mic, walk away, right? But I heard a quote one time, and it said, "One moment of favor can do more than 1,000 hours of labor." And I'm thinking about, you know, we work real hard sometimes, and we try really hard to be good, and we try really hard to accomplish things, like even good things, when we're trying really hard to do good things. If we don't pray about it, then we're exempting the favor of God from that situation. We're saying, hey, we don't need your help, God. But one moment of favor can accomplish more than 1,000 hours of labor. And so, man, let's just pray about it. Like, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you're facing, good, bad, big, small, ask for God's favor, ask for God's blessing, ask for God's help on those situations. And so, just kind of for reinforcement, we're going to look at a few more verses that really show the heart of God when it comes to us asking him for things. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, it says, this is Jesus talking. He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He talks about another version of this. Hey, man, if you've got burdens and you're carrying this weight and you try to go through life on your own, come to me. Bring that stuff to me. And then in verse 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That sounds like a good place to be. Because, man, you know, it's one thing to get, like, rest for your body. But, like, I'm talking, like, a deep rest. Like, have you ever had, like, one of those naps that was like a nap? Like, you woke up and you felt like you could take hell with a water pistol. Ka, ka, ka. Right? You felt good. Right? I think that's kind of where he wants us to be. And it's like, you don't get to that place until you bring all of, you unload all of your burdens and your weights and your cares and your concerns on him. Then you can experience rest for your souls, like the depth of that kind of rest. That's what I want. That's what I need. That's what we need. Because, man, we're so tired sometimes, and we just drag, and we give, and we give, and we give, and we go, and we go, and we go. And we need to rest, not just take a nap, but we need rest for our souls. And Jesus said, you get that if you bring your stuff to me. And it finishes in verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. This is one of my favorite verses. I say that a lot. I got a lot of favorite verses. I guess you can't really get in trouble having a lot of favorite Bible verses, right? 1 Peter 5, 7, it says, give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Like, it didn't say, give only your big cares and worries to God. It doesn't say, only bring the things that are really bumming you out to God. It says, give all of your worries and your cares to God. Another version says, to cast all of your anxiety on God. And I love the idea of, like, man, I am sick and tired of this junk. And you just throw it, right? You throw it at the feet of Jesus, and you're done with it. You stop trying to carry this weight on your own, because you're not intended to. You were never intended to. You're finite. You have limitations. And that's the beauty, first and foremost, of a relationship with a God who's bigger and better than you, right? But then he also aids us in this journey with people that he places around us to encourage us on this journey, right? It's just, you've got to tap into those things. But if you don't ever cast your cares on him, then you don't get to experience that place of freedom and rest, right? Give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, this one's heavy. It's going to hurt. It says, do not be anxious about anything. And we could stop right there and preach a whole message, because I think we have a world of anxiety, right? Like, we're always nervous and fearful about what is and what is to come. And so many people, like, I mean, it's gotten to the point where so many people, and look, there is absolutely a place for this, but I think we are over-medicated as a society, because we have anxiety. And if we'd pray a little bit more and we'd have a little deeper trust in God, then maybe it wouldn't be as bad. And again, if that's where you're at and it's a medical issue, I'm not coming at you, right? Don't get mad at me. I think there's absolutely a time and a place for that. But I think, by and large, we just kind of buy into this idea that it's okay to be freaked out about anything and everything, and we're worry warts. And that doesn't add, Jesus said, what of your worries adds anything to your life? Like, who of you, by worrying about anything, can add anything to your life? He's like, that's not where you need to be. That's not where you need to live. And so that was just the first part of that verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, there it is again, right? Words like all and every and any, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Like, that's his heart. Like, everything that you're going through, everything that you face, every circumstance, every situation, every knucklehead that you have to deal with, right? Bring that stuff to God. Cast your cares and your anxieties at the feet of Jesus. Take his yoke and his burden, because it's light and it's easy, and you were never intended to carry it on your own anyway. Present your requests to God. I think we get the idea, right? All of this is just kind of for reinforcement. Ask for what you need. Ask for what you want. Ask for solutions to the problems that you face. Ask for wisdom to make the right decisions when you've got a decision. Because, you know, there are times, there will be times, if you haven't experienced this already, you will experience this. There are going to be times where you have two decisions, or one decision and two options, and both options seem like good options. Like, and you don't need a good idea right then. You need a God idea right then. You need to know exactly where it is that God wants you to go. And so we've got to pray about that. You don't just kind of, like, flip a coin and go wherever it goes, right? Like, ask for God to give you direction. Ask for courage to stand in the face of any adversity. Right? And that's huge, because I think so many people kowtow to adversity. They fall and they crumble under the weight of circumstances. Ask for the courage to stand in the face of adversity. Ask for big things. Ask for God to do crazy things in your life that only he could get credit for, like something that you absolutely could not accomplish on your own. But then don't negate or neglect the small things either. Ask for small things. Ask for God to do things for you that you could probably do for yourself. And then see what happens when that moment of favor overwhelms the moments of labor, right, or the hours of labor. Ask for anything and everything, small, big, and anything in between. Like, just don't hesitate to ask. I was thinking about the best way to sum this up, and I just want you guys to be like my son, Tavian. If you know Tavian, you see where this is going. I don't think he's ever shied away about asking anybody for anything, ever. I've told him no thousands, like literally thousands of times. Sometimes I say no just to say no, and I don't even know what he's asking for. I'm just like, no, leave me alone. No, no, no. I'm going to get a tattoo on my forehead that says no. But he doesn't stop asking. And he still expects it to work out in his favor somehow or another, man. He's got some confidence. Like, so every time he asks for something and I say no, it doesn't change the way he feels about his next request. He's still going to ask. He still thinks he's going to get whatever it is that he wants. And so for us, like if a human being can present those kind of requests to another human being, how should we present our requests to God? Right? Just continue to ask, continue to be faithful, continue to be disciplined, diligent, and serious about your prayer time and your asking, right? And here's the thing, don't get discouraged when you get an answer that you don't want, because it's probably a better answer than the one you wanted. Like, and we don't have the ability to see this sometimes. Like, you can't see the forest for the trees, right? You're in the middle of the mess, and it's hard to see a mess when you're in the middle of it. But God has this incredible insight. He sees things from a much further view, right? Kind of the bird's eye view, God's eye view. He sees things at 30,000 feet, and we're in this middle of a dust cloud trying to fight our way out, right? So if you don't get the answer that you think that you needed, just don't give up. Don't get discouraged. And sometimes you just need to be reminded that delay isn't denial. Just because it doesn't happen when you want it to happen doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Those were all free. So be like Tavian. Ask, 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 ask for anything and everything, right? Everything in between, small and big. So that's the first A, is to ask. Our honorable mention A for the day, since we're being poetic up in her, is attitude. And this is one of the things that we all love to talk about, is attitude. Because none of us have ever had bad attitudes, right? And none of us have ever needed attitude adjustments, right? Ask your mama about that. She'll tell you. The honorable mention A for the week is attitude. And I truly believe, man, I really truly believe this, that our attitudes, there's a direct connection and correlation to our prayer life. Like the way that you respond to circumstances, your attitude towards people, the way that things either irritate you or don't irritate you, there is a direct connection to the time that you spend in prayer. When we spend time in prayer with God, it has a way of changing our hearts. It has a way of changing the way that we view and respond to others. It has a way of softening our hearts so that God can... We love this verse from Isaiah where it talks about, give us these moldable, pliable, usable hearts. And prayer does that. It breaks away all of the hardness of our hearts, and it allows God to use us in ways that are so much further beyond our comprehension, so far beyond our comprehension, right? As I've shared with you guys before, and I think it's worth sharing again, I'll just use myself as kind of the guinea pig here. I can see a very distinct difference in my attitude when my prayer life is as it should be and when my prayer life isn't as it should be. And I suspect you're probably the same way. I suspect you probably experience the same things that I experience. So if I'm praying like I should and I'm spending time with God like I should, things don't really bother me as much. People don't irritate me as much. Not as much. Like driving down the road, you don't get completely bent out of shape when somebody cuts you off, right? You just get a little irked. And it's crazy how we know the answers to the problems that we have, but we don't go to the solution, right? I know what I got to do. I know what I need to do to have the right attitude, but sometimes it's still, for whatever reason, you know, you can blame your schedule or you can blame your priorities or whatever it is. We know what we need to do to get to the place where we have this attitude that's honoring to God, that's pleasing to God, that represents him well in the world that we live in. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, this kind of reminds me of where we need to be with respect to prayer and our attitudes. It says this, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And I love how it doesn't really give us any wiggle room, right? It doesn't say, hey, you should have the same attitude that Jesus had. It doesn't say, hey, strongly consider having the same attitude that Jesus has. It says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And I think for us, the only way we get to that place, if you want to have the same thing that somebody else has, you got to be willing to do the same things that they were doing to get to the place that they are. Yeah. Did I say that fast enough? The only way that you're going to get where somebody else is by doing what they did to get where they is. And the way that he got to where he is by prayer. The only way that he got the attitude that he got was by model. He showed us, he gave us the answers, he modeled this. He said, hey, if you want to have this mind of Christ, if you want to have this attitude of Christ, then you've got to pray. Because here's the problem, you've got a flesh and you've got a spirit, and whichever one you feed is the one that grows. Like, and we understand this in a physical sense. Like, we very well understand that what you nurture and what you take care of is going to be successful. It's going to blossom. It's going to grow. And so when it comes to our bodies, we're two parts. We're flesh and we're spirit. And if you nurture and kind of get overfeed the flesh, then it's obviously going to grow. But if you feed the spirit, then it's going to grow. And we do this through prayer, by praying. And so we must have the same attitude that Jesus had. And I believe that it's just through spending time with God in prayer that we develop this attitude. The word attitude here, by definition, it means our opinions. Like, you must have the same opinions as Jesus. You must have the same opinion of other people as Jesus. You must have the same opinion of your circumstances as Jesus. You see where we're going with this? And so if you go back to what we talked about last week, where it talks about changing our minds, like, some of us need to change our opinions, right? Some of us need to change our opinions of ourselves. Ain't that the truth, right? Because, man, I think we've all got, you look at yourself sometimes. How many of you looked at yourself in the mirror this week and you're just like, eh, you don't have to do that. You don't have to be honest. I'll be honest. I was like, ugh. Right? And we do this, and we establish opinions of ourselves based on what other people have told us about ourselves. Or we start to believe what other people say about us rather than what God says about us. And the attitude that we have of ourselves comes from somebody else who doesn't value you like Jesus values you. And the attitude that you need to have about yourself, the opinion that you need to have about yourself, comes from the one who created you, who loves you with this burning desire and passion, and wants to know you so deeply and intimately. That's where our attitude and opinion of ourself needs to come from. And how do we get there? Prayer. Like, that's how we do, that's how we develop this attitude and opinion of ourself, is by spending time with God. Spending time, I mean, just think about this. Like, that the creator of the universe, the creator of you, who knows you more deeply and intimately than anyone, even than yourself, wants to spend time with you. And not just wants to spend time with you, but he loves you. That changes the way you feel about yourself, not to make you narcissistic or prideful or arrogant, but to be confident in who you are so that you can then pay that forward and do the same thing for other people, that you can let other people know, hey, you are loved. I love you. And there's somebody else that loves you so much more even than I love you. That's the value and power of prayer. When we develop the right attitude and opinions about anything and everything, what that does is it gives us this opportunity to face it head on. Like, we don't have to let our circumstances dictate how we feel. We pray about it and let our circumstances and situations, then we let them know how we feel. Right? Like, instead of, we're so reactive as a society, we wait for things to happen to us, and then we're like, oh, Lord. But if we were like, oh, Lord, on the front end, when the situations and circumstances happen, we're like, oh, cool, we got this, because I prayed about it, and I'm good. And I know that regardless of what happens, that God is with me, and he's for me, and he's not against me. And if God is for me, then who can stand against me? Right? Like, these are the things that we know and we strengthen ourselves with before we get into situations and circumstances. And we do this through prayer, right? Rather than allowing what other people think about you and say about you to dictate what we think of ourselves, we pray and we allow that time with God, who created us and loves us. Let that determine how you feel about you. Because as self-help as this seems, how you feel about you makes a huge difference in the world that you live. Right? And so we've got so many people that have just kind of this misrepresentation of them, and they don't understand who they are, and they don't understand who God created them to be, and they don't understand the purpose that he's created them with. And we allow insecurity and sometimes arrogance, and sometimes insecurity masked as arrogance. We allow all of these things to dictate how we feel about ourselves. And what we need to do is we need to pray, and we need to have our mind, our attitude, and our opinions of ourselves changed. So then we feel about ourselves like Jesus feels about us, and he loves us. And it's okay to love you some you. Just don't love you some you too much, right? There's always a fine line. And so again, this is what we do culturally. We react. We wait for bad things to happen, and then we react. And prayer is something that we should do proactively. We treat prayer as a last resort. It's like when everything is failed and fallen apart. I mean, we see this, you know, on a macro scale in the world that we live in, it's like we wait for tragedy on a massive scale to happen, and then it's like, oh, everybody should go to church and pray. Like, you saw it at 9/11. There wasn't an empty seat in any church in the United States. Like, they were all packed out, even the bad ones, right? Everybody went to church, and everybody was like, oh, man, we need to pray. And the damage had already been done. Like, it was too late for all of that. And so what we need to do is we need to be proactive when it comes to prayer. Don't treat it like a last resort. Treat it like, you know, this is what you got to do on the front end, kind of where it talks about pray always about any situation, every situation. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray. That's where we need to find ourselves. That's where we need to live our life so that we don't get blindsided when stuff happens. Because I know for me, again, kind of my attitude is directly linked to my prayer life, but so is my response to situations. Like, if I'm confident in who I am as a follower of Jesus, when something bad happens, it doesn't completely rock my world, right? But when you're shaky and something bad happens and you were already shaky to begin with, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to knock you down. If you're already off balance and you aren't confident in who you are as a follower of Jesus, as somebody who he loves extremely, then what happens when adversity happens? You just get knocked off, right? Stand on one foot and get knocked off, right? It's kind of, if you're already off balance, it's so much easier to go and finish the deal and knock you down. And so plant your feet. Man, there's so many, it's funny, when Jesus talks about this kind of stuff, he's like, hey, people who listen to me and my words, it's like a person who builds a house with an actual foundation of rock. But people who listen to me and they don't do what I tell them to do, they build their house on sand. And what do you think happens when the storms come and the wind blows? The house that's built on rock stands. The house that's built on sand falls. And it's the same thing for us. Like, our lives, we either build it on a rock or we build it on sand. And prayer is building our lives on a rock. Jesus tells this story. We're going to close with this. It's just a simple recap and a challenge. But Jesus tells this story where there's a story about Jesus. He's in a crowd of people, and everybody's pressing. Jesus was always kind of being bombarded with crowds of people, and he was so cool with it. Like, I can't imagine how frustrated I would get if people were always, like, trying to touch me and be around me, and I'm like, get off me, right? Get some hand sanitizer, right? But Jesus was always so cool with it, and I think that probably had a lot to do with prayer, but... So he's telling a story. There's a story about Jesus, and people are, you know, coming around, and people are asking to be prayed for. People want to be healed. And so this guy asked Jesus a question. He's like, Lord, if you can heal me, man, please heal me. And Jesus' response, he didn't just do it. He didn't just say, I can do that. Or he didn't just say, yeah, I mean, I would love to. I mean, there was depth to the answer. And his answer was, I'm willing and able. And I think sometimes we emphasize one or the other and not both. Like, sometimes we believe that God can, that he's able, that he can do these incredible things, but we don't know that he's willing. Like, man, I don't know. I don't want to bother God with this problem. He's willing. He wants to. He desires to. He longs to. He awaits the opportunity to. And he's able. He has the power to. And he's got this ability to do things for us that we can't do for ourselves. He doesn't face the same limitations that we face. So God is willing and he's able. So what we've got to do is bring it to him. Man, bring whatever it is that you go through to him. I don't care if it's big. I don't care if it's small. I don't feel, if it feels pedantic to you, still bring it. If you need correction, bring that to God. If you need direction, bring that to God. Anything and everything that you face, bring it to God. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. And so what I want to do this morning, man, I just want us to close our eyes and bow our heads. And if there's anybody in the room, man, you're just carrying some weight and you're sick of carrying some weight because you weren't intended to carry the weight. You're not supposed to be doing this on your own. You were never created to do this on your own. And you've allowed stuff to just build up and to build up and to build up. And man, you're carrying weight and you're wore out and you're tired of it. And you want Jesus to do for you what only he can do. So remember that he is willing and he is able. If that's you and you're carrying this weight, I just want you to slip up your hand and we're going to pray for you specifically this morning. Awesome. Awesome. Jesus, thank you so much for these words of life that we have from Scripture. God, that we get to see this picture of a God who loves us and cares about us so deeply. So deeply that he knows every number of hairs that we have on our head, the very number of hairs that we have on our head. He knows anything and everything that we face. He knows all of our problems and all of our circumstances, but he just wants us to bring it to him. So this morning, God, I pray that as we come together, God, and we confess our sins to you and we cast our cares on you, God, that you will take that weight, like it says in Matthew chapter 11, God, that we will come unto you because we're weary and we're burdened and we're tired. God, I pray that you will take that weight from us and replace it this morning with your yoke, which is gentle and easy and light. And there we can find rest for our souls. God, I pray that that is a reality this morning. God, that we walk out of this place different than we came in. That the weights and struggles that we carried in, God, that we don't carry them out. But we walk out being confident of who we are in you. God, I pray that you would change our attitudes, our opinions of ourselves and of others to reflect your attitude and opinion of ourselves and others. So that when we face adversity, God, that we don't get back to this point. We don't come back to this situation where we're carrying all of this weight because we know to cast our cares on you because you care for us. Jesus, we absolutely love you. And it's in your incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.